You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
Join me in the Tinker Shop Saturday evening at 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right. Looks like we might make it this time. We had a little trouble last night. Not sure what it was, but from all appearances here, it looks like we're going to actually make it on tonight. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 9th of December, and it's a Tuesday. Sorry we missed Monday, but that's one of those things. It's live radio. It happens occasionally. So that just means we got a whole lot more stuff to talk about tonight, not the least of which is the rally coming up, getting closer, and we'll be headed out here pretty quick. Jason and I headed to Washington. It sounds like it's going to rain all the whole time we're there, but that's okay. We'll go prepared to deal with it. We will be rallying, speaking, doing whatever it is we need to do, rain or shine, dark of night, snow, and all that stuff. We just call us the postman when we get up there. And we're still kind of struggling for funds here, so if anybody's got an extra nickel or something laying around there, hey, Rights at Risk. If anybody's got an extra nickel laying around and you feel like you can spare it, well, we'd sure appreciate all the help we can get getting up there. So go to our website at theshootingbench.us. And down towards the bottom, there's a button there. Go to the store, the online store. And down towards the bottom, there's a button for donations. And if you feel like you can, well, you can hit that and put whatever increment in there that you feel comfortable with. Yeah, Rights at Risk. We've been watching that weather deal, and it looks like at least Northern California and Oregon, maybe not quite as much in Washington unless something changes. It looks like they're having the biggest storm of the decade up there, and it could be pretty significant. They said they're looking at waves up to 25 or 30 feet high, and lots of rain. So the rally, we're really hoping that we get through the rally okay without rain, and if any way possible, we might hope for clear skies, or at least dry skies, whether they're clear or not, for Sunday and Monday, because that's when our personal defense handgun 2 class is going to be. And we'd sure like to get through that. It always makes it, the show will go on whether it rains or not. So it sure is a lot nicer and easier for people to learn and retain things when they're not sitting around freezing in the wind and soaking wet, trying to keep targets on the backers. We're taking waterproof backers with us, so even if we have to change targets occasionally, we can still keep the backers up. In heavy rains, the cardboard backers don't do too good, especially not if it rains, all day long. We usually lose them, depending on how hard it rains. We've had some in Farmington that we lost, in less than an hour. It was raining so hard. So we're taking waterproof ones, and that'll cut down on some of the heartache there. And we're taking raincoats and all that kind of stuff. So with any luck, we'll get through it okay. Let's see. Let me check something. We got some incoming here. Is this worth? Nope. Okay, that can wait. All right. Well, let's move on. We got a lot of stuff here. And, you can always tell on Facebook when you have people that are relatively new, and they really feel like they're doing the right thing, and they're posting stuff that sometimes a year, 2-3 years old, and so I feel like those people are usually new because they haven't, or either that or they don't have a good news feed anyway. Don't have good stuff coming in. So anyway, we've got one, and this is new. It's just not exciting. This is going on in San Diego, Los Angeles, where looks like a bunch of Marines are going to be raiding buildings and shooting paintballs, doing some force-on-force stuff from some modified M4s in downtown Los Angeles as part of what they're calling a routine exercise to prepare troops for urban combat. And before everybody gets all excited about that, this is way, way not the first time they've done this. First time that I recall was probably back in 1999, I believe. Might have been 2000, maybe, but I think it was probably 99. And that one took place in, I believe it was Hebron, Maryland. And I know that it actually took place because I couldn't believe it. I called the Chamber of Commerce up there. I mean, was it Chamber of Commerce? I think it was Chamber of Commerce. And verified it. It really did happen. So, then that one was a little disheartening to me, a little amazing that that kind of stuff was going on. I couldn't believe it. But since then, it's happened in San Diego and just off of not too awful far from San Francisco, and several of that's happened in Texas numerous times. And whether you agree with it or not, it's not new. I'm of the opinion that we have mock cities, mock towns, communities set up, literally all over the world. And I don't believe that they need to be trying to, indoctrinate people, what should I say, desensitize people by doing this in places where, one of these days somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's not going to hear about this and they're going to be going door to door or something. Somebody's going to get shot. And that's going to be unfortunate because it's going to create a poop storm that we're not soon going to get over. So, stay tuned for this to happen in a town near you. Not on the same line. I've got several things to keep up with here. We've got a whole bunch of new stuff. And got stuff going on Facebook I could keep track of. So, it looks like Congress now has once again went back on their word and has deceived, cheated, stolen from Indians. And it is actually here. I think this is in Arizona. Yes, it is. This was it's in the San Carlos Apache Reservation. And they're taking 2,400 or 2,500 acres. I don't remember what it is here. And actually, it's going to go to, it's through the latest 2,400 acres. Is going to go to, because of the latest National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, it's going to go to they're giving it or selling it or trading it to an Australian English mining company called Rio Tinto. And I suppose they give it a Mexican sounding name, so it would be more at home here. Sound better in Arizona. But, this guy says that this guy's name is Rambler, Terry Rambler. He's the chairman for the Apache tribe. And he said he woke up Wednesday in Washington, D.C. just to learn that Congress had decided to give away a large part of his ancestral homeland to this mining company. that he came to the nation's capital for the White House Tribal Nations Conference, an event described in the press announcement as an opportunity to engage the president, cabinet officials, and the White House Council on Native American Affairs on key issues facing tribes, including respecting tribal sovereignty and upholding treaty and trust responsibilities. Oh, really? Respecting tribal sovereignty and upholding treaty and trust responsibilities. Did you catch that? You hear what they're doing there? Respecting tribal sovereignty and upholding treaty and trust responsibilities. Okay, I got it now. I'm okay. He says things got off to an unfortunate but familiar start when he learned that the House and Senate Armed Services Committee had decided to use the lame duck session of Congress. Of course they would. Sure they would. Absolutely. To give away this 2,400 acres. Now, 2,400 acres is not a whole lot, but to these people, they haven't got a very big reservation. And this particular plot of land is where they go. Number one, it's an ancestral thing there. And they go there. It is the best place on their reservation to go and gather acorns. And they use these acorns for to help get them by. You know, they use them for, I don't know how many of you have ever tried it, but you can take acorns and grind it up. You know, you soak them for a while and dry them and grind them into a meal, kind of like cornmeal, except it's not because it's acorn meal. And it makes pretty good you know, bread and you know, little biscuits and that kind of stuff. And so anyway, this is how they get by and get through the winter, and they go and pick up a whole lot of these acorns to get them through. So they've taken that away from them. Respecting their sovereignty and stuff, you understand. You know, you got that? Yeah. Yeah, and John McCain is behind this and pushed it hard. And I swear, I don't understand. You know, I believe, and I have, you know, things in my faith and my church that helps me believe this, that there will be a significant monumental uprising of the American Indian again. And, you know, just remember you heard it first here on the Shooting Bench, Just Measures Radio Network. And I think all of us here are going to live to see that, barring any unnatural deaths or premature deaths or anything. So I think that we are in a very, I think we're very blessed in a way. You know, there's going to be times when we really don't think that because of the things that we're going to see. But we're going to experience, we're going to have a new normal. We're going to be certainly out of the rut that we're in now, you can be assured of that. And we're going to have to learn, you know, new skills, new, you know, different, you know, awareness levels and just on and on with the calamity that I expect to see here in the not too distant future. So the C7, I think that I have a story. I think we're going to talk about that here in a little bit up in Wisconsin. But yeah, to Tinker, we have lots of traitors in the White House, and I'm hoping that, you know, I am the, regardless of what you hear me say about the future, I do believe it's a reality. It's not because I'm pessimistic. It's because I'm a realist. We are going to see these things, but I don't look at it as being pessimistic. I look at it as a new normal, a new start, a new time in America that, dreadful as it may be, for a time, America and the Constitution will be restored. Now, how many of us will live to see that happen, I don't know. because we will have people die of infections and violence and suicides and poisons and malnutrition, and it is on and on and on. Pessimistic? Not at all. It's just going to happen. And I look forward to, well, I hope that I will survive to see how this comes out. But anyway, just keep that in mind, and we'll see what happens. It's going to be a shame. One of the things that I've thought about so much is when the collapse actually happened. We know it's close. We know it's very close right now, or at least we feel that it is. I don't guess we know that it is, but one of the things that's going to really disturb me is the fact that I'm going to get up one day and poof, my shooting bench family is going to be gone. A few local people that listen, you know, I may run into a few people in our group and whatnot, but, you know, rights at risk and C7. C7 may wind up making his way down here to Tinker, Minnie, T-Dog. I may see T-Dog again at some point. But anyway, it's going to be a sad time when I get up one day and there's, you know, I can maybe turn the computer on, but no internet, no shooting bench, and there we go. So I'm not looking forward to that, but it's one of those things that's going to happen. So I'm going to take a little break here and get a drink of water and stretch my legs for a second. So I'm going to play you a little song about a foot long, and I'll be back here in just a little bit. Well, it looks like I'm still here. Okay, let's try this. that was kind of an abrupt stop there. But anyway, we're back. Welcome to the shooting bench on this fine Tuesday. Let me go over here and check my chat room. How many we got in the chat room? Let me see who are... I know we got a couple of them that's messing me on Facebook that's not in the chat. And looks like we got most of our locals. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 anonymous. So, all right, good deal. Glad y'all could come in. Okay, let's look here. Let me check and see if I need to address anything here. All right, here we go. Let's check and see. We got some gun-related things here that I thought were significant, relevant to what we do, and several of them, as a matter of fact. Some of them I may save here for Thursday. Oh, by the way, tomorrow night there will not be a show. I will be on the road trying to get a few miles behind me. I've got 1,500 miles to drive, and I fully intend to get there fairly early on Friday. So there will be no show. I'll see if I can get... maybe I can get DeTinker to throw on an archive for me, or I'll put something in there for him, and maybe he'll take care of that for me. And Thursday night, we should be back on schedule. We intend to stop early enough to get the show in. Matter of fact, I will be on, by Thursday night, I'll be on Pacific time again. Well, I guess that don't matter to everybody else, because it's still going to come on at the same time. It just means I have to stop an hour earlier. Well, okay, let's see here. Breaking news. It's, you know, it used to be...
good night, sweetie.
Love you, Daddy.
All right. Used to be, as I said, Amy and I were talking about this here a couple of days ago, about how many times, you know, sometimes... So, you know, do we really have to have the news on all the time? And I'm trying to, you know, for her sake, I'm trying to back off of that just a little bit. But, you know, news is changing hourly. You know, every hour, every 2 or 3 hours, 4 or 5 times a day, when it used to be you know, once a month before there was anything significant, or every week or so, or... You know, and then every few days, and now it's got to a point now where you can't miss any time, because something around the world is happening that is needs to be addressed. Norpray, I don't know if you're listening to the chat. If you are, I'm not sure if I'm going to get there quite that early, but. Maybe an early supper or something. We'll just have to see when we get there. We're going to hustle right along, but I do have to stop in Utah and see Rights at Risk, no matter what else happens. We won't be coming back that way. So, Rights at Risk, it'll be sometime, I'm not sure when, but it'll probably be sometime early afternoon on Thursday would be my guess. So when we get up Thursday morning and get on the road, I'll probably have a little better idea of where I'm going to be. I know Amy's got so much stuff to do. I really wanted to bring her with me up there. I tried and tried to talk her into it, but we got so much. Amy? C7 says he misses your show. He said, what was that, the sewing bench? That's a good one, C7. But, yeah, I wanted to bring her with me, but there's just too much going on. She's got a job and responsibilities that she has to take care of and everything. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to go without her. So, but maybe Jason will go along and haven't done a class or anything with Jason for quite a while, so that'll be fun anyway. Okay, let's look here. Do we have, what is this, one of them? No, that's not one of them. Okay, here we go. Two cases, within a couple of days of each other where concealed handgun permit holders have stopped robberies. Now, before we get too far with this, let me give you my 2 cents worth on just the title itself. Unless you feel that someone is going to pull the trigger, if they're armed, have the gun out, and you have a bad feeling about it, then by all means, light him up. We don't stop robberies. That's not our job. Our job as sheepdogs is to do everything that we can do to prevent someone from getting hurt, whatever we have to do to do that. We don't stop robberies unless, as an armed robber, you know, you got a feeling that he's going to pull the trigger or has already pulled the trigger, and then we're not stopping a robbery. We're stopping maybe a murder or another murder or someone getting injured or wounded, whatever. So that is not stopping robbery. The robbery may have been thwarted as a result of your actions, but that's not what we were doing. We were there to save lives and prevent people from getting hurt. So let's see, one customer was killed here, but when, okay, there's the very next sentence. One customer was killed, but with the permit holder in this case, multiple customers may have been killed. Now, I've said this many times, is it's hard to make that call, even in a school shooting or anything else, it's hard to make that call to pull the trigger unless someone else has already pulled the trigger. There, unfortunately, it's going to be really, really difficult for you, probably, depending on what state you're in and what the circumstances are, for you to get out of something by saying, well, I thought he was going to shoot somebody. So, and now if he has shot and missed, if he has fired a warning shot into the ceiling, if he has already shot and hit somebody, whatever, then all bets are off. Just because he's waving the gun around, you can be absolutely assured, beyond a doubt, that if your case goes to court, that the opposing attorney is going to make a big deal out of what makes you so special. Why did you, how did you know he was going to pull the trigger? He was as scared as everybody else. He was using the gun to intimidate people, had no intention of shooting anybody, and if the jury buys that, you're toast. So choose wisely, my friends. Don't get trigger happy, don't get stupid with what you're doing there, because it could ruin your entire life. Make sure you're right. Police said three gunmen entered the bar about 10:55 p.m. on Tuesday, one of them shooting into the ceiling as they came in. There you go. Ordered everyone to the floor. Okay, that's enough right there. Wade, who is Wade? Wade ran towards the former police officer and shot him in the thigh. The ex-officer, who worked for the department for several years in the 1970s and has a concealed carry permit, fired back, shooting Wade in the eye and Davis in the shoulder. Another male customer was shot in the ankle and was in critical condition. Wow, shot in the ankle in critical condition. A fourth male victim was released from the hospital after receiving 2 shots to his buttocks. One in each cheek, maybe. Davis and a third gunman fled in a stolen Mazda. Police found the wounded bad guy at the hospital, claimed to have been shot in a different place, and a manhunt continued for the third guy in Las Vegas. Las Vegas police arrested a man after he tried to rob a Red Lobster. Call was made to police around 9:45 p.m. reported a man had entered the Red Lobster with a handgun. The man, who has now been identified as 28-year-old Dylan Webb, allegedly threatened customers and employees and took the drawer from a cash register. Witnesses said the man ran out the back. A customer from the restaurant attempting to flee the area was confronted by the suspect in the parking lot. The customer, who was armed with a handgun, fired 1 round And the guy dropped the drawer out of the cash register and ran off. So I think that both of those cases were pretty cut and dried. I think they were both well justified. The one guy said he was trying to get away. He did not chase the bad guy out the door, which is a very bad thing over just a robbery. Now, if he'd have killed somebody, maybe we'd go ahead and chase him down. You know, there's that whole fleeing felon thing that most states allow you to shoot someone to use lethal force. But the customer, according to the story, was trying to get away, was fleeing the events there, and ran into the guy. So I think he was, if this is true, I think that was well justified. I think he did it just exactly like he should have there. Let's see here. Let me go back through here and see what's going on in the chat room real quick. All right. Rights at risk. I don't think Jason's never been with us when you came up there, so this will be a first for you and get to meet Jason, providing everything works out well and makes it up there. Things always can change, but right now everything seems to be a go and seems to be fine. So, all right, let's look at another one here. Wait a minute. All right. Remember, we talked here actually a couple of different times about Kroger has seemed to have, pardon the use of this stupid saying, but has stuck to their guns. Kroger has still not caved in to the anti-gun group, the Moms Demand Action or whoever it was. That's who it is. And apparently, we don't know for sure that this is why, but this has all taken place just in the last 2 or 3 months here, and it seems that they have posted a 21% profit increase, $362 million net gain for the third quarter of 2014. Did we do that? How awesome would that be? How awesome would it be if they could show... Now you know that Kroger is also... There's been a robbery or an assault or something in progress stopped by a concealed carry holder since all this stuff started. And during the same time period there, right at the beginning of this, when, who in the heck is it? Jack in the Box and Sonic and several others have had robberies, assaults, murders, you know, something going on after they made their announcement that they really didn't care for guns in the store. Now, contrary to popular belief, most of those stores do not have an outright written policy ban on guns. They've just asked politely that you not bring them in. And so I will politely not bring my money in there either. But if I do need to eat there for whatever reason, I will not politely leave my gun in the car. I will politely wear it concealed so as not to cause any problem. But I have every intention of trying not to be forced into that situation. Stand by here just a second. Sorry about that. So, anyway, this... I hope that they can prove it. Bloomberg has put in oodles and gobs of money into these anti-gun efforts with a couple of different groups there. And so is Bill Gates, for those of you that are Windows fans. Unfortunately, he has made the decision to put in, you know, millions and millions of dollars, and they've actually pushed the NRA pretty hard here. So, Mountain Shooter, I'm a big fan of Sonic. I used to stop there. I still do once in a while. They don't have a policy. They've asked not to. There's a big difference in that. When they have a written policy, then that's like Costco. For those of you Costco fans, they do have a written policy. And it's on their website. They never, I've never talked to anybody that's ever seen it in their store. I don't go to their stores. But another one that I really miss, it's killing me, is Subway. Now, the only reason Subway is on my poop list is because they support Michelle Obama and her food thing that she's got going on there. So that's not a hard, fast, forever ban there. We'll see how all that pans out. They're not anti-gun. They haven't done anything. They haven't supported the homo movement or anything like that. They just have, partnered up with Michelle, which I don't like. And I think I've been to a Sonic or to a Subway maybe once since this has taken place. And I wanted to today. Amy and I went into town, and there was a Subway right across the street, and I was hungry this morning. And I dearly love their some of their breakfast sandwiches there. But, in the interest of putting my money where my mouth is, we didn't go. We didn't stop there. So, anyway. All right, it looks like I have a couple of things to check on here. So let's play another quick song, and I'll be back. Come on, song, let's go.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest, these are men America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
This up here. We've got a few more stories to take care of. We have another gun-related deal. And speaking of gun-related, for those of you that will be up at the rally or nearby, Sunday and Monday will be a personal defense handgun 2 class. And if you are going to be at the rally, and well, I guess no matter where it's your rally or not, because I'm going to tell you right now, when you go to check out, if you put in lowercase I 594, you can save $100 on this class. So their mountain shooter. Sorry about that. I was a little bit late. I got to it's kind of a short break there. But anyway, let's see. Let me get to my other deal. Another one about a armed customer.
Your kids are smart.
Wait, dog? Stop.
Well, let's just say he's sweet.
Stop.
And now your grocery shopping is smart, too. Because you shop at...
Thank you. No, that was the Red Lobster one. Okay. Now, there's a movement going on here, and I wish them all the luck in the world. I see very little hope for this passing. But it's possible. Stranger things have happened. They're looking at pushing real hard for... the House and the Senate to remove wording from the 1968 Gun Control Act prohibiting the sale of handguns across state lines. You know, if you, depending on as long as your state allows it, you can buy a rifle or shotgun anywhere in the country and buy it right over the counter and then take it home with you. As long as your state allows you to do that, and the state that you're buying it in allows you to do that. But there is no federal law keeping you from doing it. However, according to the text of the Gun Control Act of 1968, it is unlawful for any person, this is kind of stupid the way they word this, but it's unlawful for any person other than a licensed importer, licensed manufacturer, licensed dealer, or licensed collector, to transfer, sale, trade, give, transport, or deliver any firearm to any person other than a licensed importer, licensed manufacturer, who the transferor knows or has reasonable cause to believe resides in any state other than that in which the transferor resides. And other than that in which place of business is located in the transfer is a corporation or business entity. Exemptions are rifles and shotguns, as it is explained earlier in the Gun Control Act. Now, they say any, how they word it here, you trade any firearm to any person. I don't know why they just didn't put handgun there to start with. But a little earlier in the thing, it says there's a question and answer deal on the BATF's website. From whom may an unlicensed person acquire a firearm under the Gun Control Act? Person may only acquire a firearm within the person's own state, except that he or she may purchase or otherwise acquire a rifle or shotgun in person at a licensee's premises in any state, provided the sale complies with the state law applicable in the state of sale and the state where the purchaser resides. Okay, that's what I was telling you at the beginning there. A person may borrow or rent a firearm in any state for temporary use for lawful sporting events. Why didn't they just say handgun? This was prior to that segment that's worded, you know, it says any firearm to any person. So what this means, as most of you already have figured out, if you want to buy a handgun, if you go to, let's say you're from Idaho, and I'm going to see you at the rally, and you want to legally buy a handgun, then the only way for you to do that is to make the deal. And then the two of you, once you make this deal, would be, you need to go down to a dealer and say, hey, Mr. Dealer, I'm going to buy this handgun from this guy. So what's going to happen is the guy that owns the handgun is going to hand it over to the dealer. The dealer is going to log it into his book. The dealer is going to ship it to your dealer, wherever that is. And you're going to go pick it up from that dealer, your dealer, in your state, just as if you were buying it from him. That is the absolute only, other, unless you have a license, an FFL of some kind, that is the absolute only way for you to buy a handgun legally from another state. You cannot do private sales. You cannot do online sales. You cannot do, now you can do it, and a lot of people get away with it. I'm talking legally. You are committing a felony when you do this. If you get caught, it'll be woe be unto your ass. Okay, Hey, speaking of dealers, there's Forks just came in there. Forks is with Breyer Barrels. You remember the ads we do once in a while? And that's, we may, I think we're going to see him at the rally up there as well. Be glad to see him again. I actually saw him in January. We saw him at the SHOT Show. Didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with him because I was running like a madman around there trying to get everything done that I was instructed to do. But hopefully we'll be able to sit down and visit a little bit at the rally. And Casper, you're right, and welcome, by the way. You're right, except in California. There's actually quite a few states that don't allow that. I'm just saying there is no federal law that prohibits it. So, yeah, there's California is one of probably just right off the top of my head, I'm going to guess maybe, I don't know, maybe 15 states, somewhere in there, that don't allow that. But nevertheless, there is no federal law against it. So, all right, let's see if we can squeeze in one more here. This is, oh, I already got that one. Oh, here's another gun-related deal. This is going to work out well. Stand by just a minute again. Here we go. All right. Oh, by the way, I am pondering. There may be some changes to things here around the first of the year. I don't know for sure yet, but I'm pondering maybe going back to mornings. I haven't made up my mind yet, but I will let you know a week or two before it happens, if it happens. But I know that I'll lose some of you because it'll be way too early in some parts of the state and people will be working others, but I will pick up a few. It's a, damn if I do and damn if I don't. But we'll see how that works out, and it'll be probably shortly after sometime in January. So I'll let you know in plenty of time to get your schedule adjusted and everything. And I'm going to hate to do it to some of you because I know some of you are, this is the perfect time of day, but others don't get to do it because, you know, it's too late. So in an effort to make some of the people happy that have not been happy and not been able to catch the shooting bench live, we may start doing it in mornings and pick up a few new listeners. So, okay. Does Mountain Shooter, I don't think Amy's going to come back. She's got a job in the mornings, and, I would love nothing more than to produce her show and have her come back. And I know a lot of you would as well. But it may not be in the cards. What I might be able to do is drag her on here just for a little short, 10-minute segment or something in the mornings just to say hi and a couple of the things that she used to do. So we'll let you know when that happens there. Forks, I'm glad to hear that you're going to be at the rally. I thought you were, and then got a gun show just after that. So good deal. Really good. The Pumpkin Cat, I will make every effort. It's a lot easier now. When I used to have to upload two-hour shows, it was always such a, I'm always so pushed for time that a lot of times I just wasn't able to do it when, right after the show. I was always running, doing something. But now that it's an hour, it's a little bit easier for me to do. So I may be able to get the archive on sometime in the evening like that, maybe get Concrete and to start it, after his show or whatever. But we'll make every effort to do that. At the very worst possible scenario is it'll be on the following night or by morning, and it'll play over and over on the archive. So anyway. The Pumpkin Cat, I know everybody misses Amy, and I know that that's I wish I could talk her into getting on there. But maybe we can get her on for a little bit if we go back to mornings and get her get a couple of little bit of time with her. All right, we have managed to... let me get one more. We'll run over just a little bit, but that's okay. Nobody follows me. I can do whatever I want. Illinois, believe it or not. And I know these people hate this. They hate it. But let me tell you something. Tell me if this was predictable. The crime rate in Illinois has dropped by 20% this year, and the homicide rate has now reached a 56-year low. A lot of people are attributing that to the adoption of their concealed carry laws. The executive director of the Illinois State Rifle Association said it isn't any coincidence that crime rates started to go down when concealed carry was permitted. Just the idea that the criminals don't know who's armed and who isn't has a deterrence effect. So these numbers, according to this story, these numbers started going down after the concealed carry law was put into effect. He said the police department hasn't changed a single tactic. They haven't announced a shift in policy. And, of course, yet you have these incredible numbers. Pearson says Illinois had 83,183 applications for concealed carry and has issued 68,549 as of July 29th. Okay, this is November. So there's this story was from middle of August, end of August. So there's been there's certainly more than that. I'd venture to guess that they're probably 100,000 or more now. So in April, data was released showing the city's first quarter homicide rate was the lowest since 1958, with six fewer murders being reported than during the same period in 2003, 55 fewer homicides since the same time in 2012. Now, this is the Huffington Post that's saying this. So, according to a report issued by the GAO in June of 2002, only seven states and the District of Columbia prohibited the concealed carry of handguns. Well, we've all watched Wisconsin was one of the last two to fall, and finally Illinois in 2013. So, a July study issued by the Crime Prevention Research Center found that 11.1 million Americans now have permits to carry concealed weapons, up from 4.5 million in 2007. So we're getting, we're crowding in on three times more permits since 2007. That's a lot of folks. Not near as many as ought to be, but it's a lot. But, you know, there's always got to be somebody here that's going to play stick in the mud. So there's, let me go on down here and see. Okay, here's a guy. It says, without good research, it's impossible to determine what's actually brought the city's crime rate down. Policing, more civilians with guns, or some factor we've yet to discover. As has been said many times, when you conflate correlation and causation, you can come to all sorts of silly policy conclusions. This is a senior fellow with the Urban Institute's Justice Policy Center, wrote that in a commentary to Huffington Post. So, I think he's full of beans myself. It seems quite obvious to me because it has happened in every freaking state that has adopted shall issue concealed carry law. Every one. The results have been the same each and every time. So, you can take it for what it's worth there, but it appears to me that it's pretty obvious what happened. All right, well, I got to get out of here. I got things to do, places to go, and people to see. Got a lot of stuff to do to get ready to go. And not the least of which, before I get out of here, I got to put up a few Christmas lights for Miss Amy so she didn't have to do it. I don't want her crawling around on ladders and doing stuff when I'm gone. So I'll take care of that for her before I leave. And then get loaded up and start heading out. So rights at risk, I will let you know. Just as soon as we figure out what's going on, I'll let you know how we're going to get up there. And I, you know what? I need to look at a map because I may have lied to you. I have your number. If I lied to you, I'll call and apologize to you and tell you that I'm sorry for lying to you. But I'll let you know just as soon as I can. All right. I'm rambling now. I'm rambling because I'm trying to get the archive started here, but it looks like everything is going to work just fine. Sorry for the mix-up last night. Don't forget the rally coming up this coming Saturday for those of you that can make it, Olympia, Washington. I'd sure like to see more of you there. Got quite a few that's going to be there, quite a few Shooting Bench listeners. There's probably going to be, I'm guessing probably a dozen or more that we know. So that's going to be cool. All right, I'm out of here. We'll see you all not tomorrow. No show tomorrow. We will be back on schedule on Thursday. Good night. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time for the Shooting Bench right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let freedom